Willkommen, this is Julia.
And this is Shane, who misses Think Plant-Based. Think Plant-Based. Make sure to check out recipes, health tips, travel tips at www.thinkplantbased.com.
And we're officially on iTunes, so please rate and write us a review on iTunes.
Write us a review. Give us 2 stars, 3 stars, maybe 5 stars. Let us know.
Oh, for sure, 5.
Yeah, I mean, who would give us 2 stars anyways, yeah. Right? But yeah, make sure to do that because that's how we get found. And we're back again after a long hiatus for Christmas holidays and whatnot. We got a special guest today. Who do we got, Julia?
We have Diane Randall from Chicago with us
exciting.
Today.
Oh, exciting. How's it going, Diane?
It's going well. How are you guys?
We are doing
pretty
great.
Good.
Yeah.
We're surviving the rainy season here in the rainforest of Vancouver, BC.
I think it's rained every day in July, in January here. January, so it feels like we need some sunshine.
Right, we really do. We have like our artificial light, you know, at home. Have you ever heard of it?
Up. Yeah, have you ever heard of a seasonal affective disorder light, like a sad light?
No, I haven't.
It's kind of like a very bright, they do about 10,000 lux. It's like how bright the light is. Mm-hmm. And it does something to the cones of your eyes to kind of trigger your brain to thinking it's daylight. So that so it keeps your circadian rhythm kind of in check when you have them in the day. Supposedly. I mean, they've done clinical studies. They say it does. They can't quite prove things, but they know that, you know, it helps with your sleep cycle when you get proper light. And
Yeah, but we never know what's being done to us, do we?
Totally.
It's a mental thing, right?
I think it works,
For me, you know, if I believe it's working, then it works with a lot of
then
things, right? Like
That's
in
right.
life, right?
That's
if
right.
you... If you believe, let's say, this certain lifestyle of eating, right, works for you, then it usually does, right? It's like how you go with it, how your attitude is, right?
And
well, that's what we're going to talk about today, too, right? Like how to stay overall healthy in a busy life we were living today, right? Like we're always busy and we find excuses. Oh, I don't have time to eat like a salad or make a smoothie in the morning.
Right.
Right? Like there's always these excuses. But please tell the listeners more about yourself.
Yeah.
Well, my name is Diane Randall. I live in Chicago. I'm a whole living consultant and an author. Just released a new book, Jumpstart Your Life, about 2 months ago.
Oh, exciting.
And what I do is I help men and women adapt healthy ways of living. I teach tools and strategies, inner tools and strategies to help people in their lives. So whether it's eating, whether it's a career, it doesn't matter. You start right where you are and you work from there.
That's awesome. Yeah,
that's very
totally.
Inspiring. That's awesome. Yeah. Especially as a group, you know, I find it could be tricky, right? Because everyone is on a different path. How do you even focus on all of them at the same time when you have, let's say, group workshop? How do you go with that?
Well, my work has evolved over a few years. So basically today, I attract people that are looking for change.
Okay.
You got to want to change, right?
Yeah.
Believe
me, I started my career 11 years ago, and I thought if I just put the sign up, the people will come, and they did. But I learned that I started using words like willing and ready, because if you're not ready, you're not going to change.
Totally.
That's
so
true.
So all my work, and when people invite me to speak, whether I'm doing a workshop, they already know that we're talking about change and they want some change. They just don't know where to start. So that's my target right there.
Right. So how did you even come up being like this amazing coach? Like, were you always a happy child, you know, like your upbringing and everything? Like how was it like that you even got into this direction?
Well, the reason and what led me in this direction was I was a single divorced mom, and this was about 25 years ago, could be even a little longer now.
Yeah.
And I had this amazing career. I was a systems engineer back then, But I had two kids, two little kids, a baby and a preschooler, and oh, I'm wow. single, and I had this awesome, awesome career, which demanded, you know, a lot of me. And right. I'm really young. I'm not taking care of myself. I got high blood pressure, high cholesterol, ended up in the hospital a few times with anxiety, stress. I had no tools to manage my life at that time.
Oh, wow. Right. Yeah.
So I knew that a successful career would not sustain me in my life. I knew that. I got that much. But I didn't know what I needed to do. So I started reading, researching on how to stay healthy, what I needed to do. Keep in mind, this was when the internet really wasn't, you know, as popular as it is now. It wasn't right. like a daily tool.
It wasn't easy to find information. You had to get the encyclopedias and exactly. Go to your library. You know.
Have all these books on the shelf.
Yeah. Pull the health
yes.
out. Yeah.
Yes, yes. And then you don't know what the truth is, because in my mind, I was eating healthy even when I was getting sick. So what sure. I recognize yeah. is, I don't know what the truth is. Okay. I'm so confused about what the truth is, but I had a lot of stress and it just wasn't a good thing. So fast forward, I started listening to teachers and people that, you know, I connected with, because that's what it's about, what resonates with you.
Right. Exactly.
And I started reading books. That led to people I resonated with. That led to workshops. And that led to me becoming a life coach, because I learned, okay, what is that? I'm a life coach. I went to the Institute for Integrative Nutrition, because what I recognized is I needed to learn exactly what is whole food? What is really healthy food? Because I thought I knew, but I didn't. And all the misinformation out there was very confusing at the time.
Right.
It is, especially when you get started. You know, I remember my journey too. You know, I was always passionate about nutrition, going to a nutrition workshop here and there. Sure. Oh, there's this guru now. He's very trendy. You got to listen to him. Check out all his YouTube videos. You know, you can't miss them, or you're going to have like this missing link, right? You need to know everything. You're almost like hungry about like knowledge, or especially when it comes to nutrition.
You're hungry for, yeah. Sure. And yeah. I was hungry for knowledge. But I was still gaining weight. I still had high blood pressure. Right. I still yeah. had high cholesterol. So that direction I was in wasn't really helping me. So right. over the years, when I went to the Institute for Integrative Nutrition, that was it, because it talked about, I learned about plant-based food. I'd never quite heard it said like that.
Right.
That eating foods that are grown in the ground, that have no mother, that have no face, are really the foods that I need to focus on. And I say that because that helps me to remember.
That's beautiful said, yeah. because I mean, you're a mother too. So, you know, like how harsh it can be out there with the animal kingdom, right? How yeah. they just breed and they produce, let's say, dairy all the time, and they don't get out, play in the sun and eat grass all day long. They can't decide for their life, right? How they can live.
They can't decide for their lives, the poor animals. But I tell you, I started out for health reasons. I always say I came for health and I stayed for the animals, because
sure.
being plant-based for the past 11 years just expanded my heart and my soul that so much that I have such compassionate connection for animals. I can't imagine.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Eating an animal.
Right. Yeah.
Start
right.
To learn.
I even find like my spiritual horizon opened up more when I became plant-based, you know, like you're more connected with like humans and animals, you're more compassionate, and you just feel more lighter and happier, you know?
You feel more lighter, and it's so funny that you said your spiritual connection opened up. I ended up getting a master's in spiritual psychology.
Oh. Wow. That's amazing, right? Like,
yeah.
Just like
yeah,
what you went through in life, you know, it's just,
yeah,
it had to
yeah.
happen. So you go to this right journey, you know, where you feel more enlightened and happier and stronger too. You want to be stronger in life too.
Light and open to the journey, open to what I need to learn. So open to listening to the universe, you know, what do I need to do? Because it's not just the food that keeps us in a unhealthy place. It's what we think about for the most part. So I do a lot of mindset work.
Right.
Because that's where it starts. I didn't always know that, but that's exactly where it starts. And I always say, if you get your mind right, your body will follow.
That's so true. Exactly. Right. I mean, it's quite amazing. Like, you appeared in various publications, right? Such as the New York Times and Balance Magazine, American Holistic Health Association, and so much more. And I even read, like, you were at Oprah Winfrey, right? Yeah. Talking about successful relationships. Can you tell us more about that? Yeah. That's exciting.
That was many years ago, and it just unfolded. And right. And like I said, it just unfolded that way. I had no idea that would happen. I went to a cocktail party, and that led to being on Oprah, having a car pick me up to talk to Oprah.
Crazy.
That's great. Wow.
Yeah. So I always say, if you're open, you know, you have no idea what might come in. And I believe that. And right. I get that confirmation constantly.
Wow. That's really awesome.
Right. Yeah. So obviously plant-based eating has been, you know, a pivotal role in your life. How do you manage like your stressful lifestyle? Because I think you need to be, you know, manage your stress levels just as much as your diet to be overall healthy. Right.
You're absolutely correct. I have this down now. Plus, my kids are grown, so that helps.
Yeah,
that makes it easier.
They're going on about their business now. but initially it was tough. But what I recognize and what I advocate and what I teach is you have to make yourself a priority.
Right.
And you have to have the courage to do it, because, you know, a lot of times if you're looking at yourself, you need to do something, you know, you're selfish, you know, but it's not being
right.
selfish.
No,
it's being self-honoring. So what right. I learned to do was not only to take time for myself, even when my kids were growing up, after I started getting it, because what I realized with that stress and anxiety, I was headed for a heart attack.
Right.
Literally. Yeah. Literally, crazy. Because that was the dynamic of my life at the time. So I learned to set boundaries. I learned that it's great if I take care of myself, because guess what? I show up even better for my children.
Sure.
That's true. Was it hard for you to say no sometimes? Because you were nurturing your children and you had to be out there all the time.
Initially, and I'm not saying this was a journey. It was a process.
Right.
But at a certain point, it's okay to say no.
Yeah.
You have to say no.
You got to practice that.
You have to, right? But do you find it was there a time where it was hard for you to actually say no, because you always thought like you're selfish if you say no?
I got over that, okay, because you keep all those negative, I mean, that keeps you stuck in right. not doing anything for yourself. So it was about letting go. All of those thoughts and all of those things and words that kept me in my stress bubble.
Right.
Right.
So over time, and I even train my kids, you know, over time when, you know, mommy's doing this at a certain time. I mean, I didn't run off and leave them or anything.
Yeah, I'm going out. I'll see you tomorrow morning.
Yeah. The keys are on the table if you guys need to go out.
But I did take care of myself. And sometimes that did mean I'm taking a weekend away.
Right.
Yeah.
And it really helped my stress, because I knew that with the high blood pressure and the anxiety attacks and the stress, that was going to lead to something bad. And the doctor kept telling me, girl, you're too young, you right. know, if you yeah. keep this up. So I heard it. And over time, I aligned myself with people that were living that kind of life.
Yeah.
You know, where they can manage. Stress does happen. Okay.
Yeah.
There's no way around it. But if you learn tools to use to help yourself and support yourself in the midst of the stress situation, then that helps.
Right.
If you can feel the stress because that comes up and kind of recognize where it's coming from instead of just being all caught up in the stress. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That helps. I learned over time, you know, and I have no guilt about it. Like I said, it takes a lot of courage and to be brave to make yourself a priority in your life. It totally. Really, really does. But guess what? You model that behavior and you teach other people to take care of themselves as
exactly.
well.
Mm-hmm. But it's kind of hard. We live in this instance, like society in a way, right?
Yeah,
where we
phones.
Always have to.
We're
like,
always connected to some. We're always waiting for a like
right,
or
they
something.
They expect you like to, oh, well, I messaged you, like, you're always on your phone. I know that. So why are you not getting back to me in a way, right? Like, people think, like, that's how it works nowadays.
Okay, and you're right. And I call that another cultural addiction, okay? Right.
Definitely.
And what I've also had to learn to do, and in the same way with the food addiction, is to, okay, you have to set boundaries with your phone. Facebook, I mean, I know, I see people. I consciously watch people. Mm-hmm. And many people are walking around, they're on their phone, they're almost getting hit by cars.
Yes, here too.
They don't feel, you know, and I just observe that kind of thing. So it is disconnecting from all the things that keep us distracted, because you cannot take care of yourself or feel that you have the space and the room and the time to do anything if you're always tapped in to the phone, to your digital device, your laptop. It just doesn't work like
that. Right. You know what's funny? Like, now we have the internet and it's like, oh yeah, we meant to be more connected than ever, but we're actually more disconnected than ever. That's what I feel, you know, because we don't really look at people's eyes when we talk.
Our social interaction, I think, with humans are starting to fade away because we're doing texting and we're not even communicating.
Or calling? What? Why are you calling me?
Yeah, like,
text me, okay? That's so rude to call me.
You know, my kids, because they came around that generation where you were texting, and I feel that the younger generations, they have lost some socialization that could probably impact them later. Not all, because they'd rather text than talk.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I personally, if it's something short, I will text. But I'm not going to be texting back and forth 100 times. That's a phone call.
Yeah,
exactly. And I agree on that.
Even my clients, you send me an email or you call me. Unless you're saying I'm going to be late, I'm 15 minutes late, I'm 5 minutes late, you know, then you can text. I mean, I do that in my life. It's a conscious thing.
Right.
I keep my phone in my purse. I don't take my, when I go somewhere, and now it's like, do not take a picture of me. I want to enjoy myself. Do not pull that camera out, because now you go places and everybody's taking pictures and filming. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, like at concerts, you can't even go with, instead of them enjoying the moment, you know, like a special moment, they're just got their phone and they're watching the concert through the phone. Why don't you just go home and watch it on TV then? Why
and
are
then
you
you're not going to watch it anyways
after. And then you have it on your phone. Like, I've even done this before. You get it on your phone and then you never watch it. So why did you even film it? You should have just experienced it and lived in the moment.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a habit.
Yeah.
It's something. So in my life today, it's conscious work.
Right.
Because I will not, you know, I have friends that pull out their cameras, but I will tell them, if you're going to be flashing, and I just don't want to go out. You know, I just don't want to do that. And even when my daughter, for example, when she was a teenager, we would agree that she was going to keep that phone up while we were out. Because it makes no sense to go and sit across from each other if you're texting back and forth.
Yeah.
Makes no sense.
No,
so, it doesn't.
So in my life today, yes, it's okay to take pictures. But if I'm on a trip, I'm hiking on the West Coast, and you took your phone, and this has actually happened, do not take pictures of me, because I didn't come here for pictures. I'm coming here to enjoy the moment, to enjoy these mountains and this scenery, not the camera in my face every 5 minutes.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Well, I think people get addicted to the camera in their face all the time, and they get that, I don't want to say like narcissistic kind of feel that they always have to take a picture or a selfie.
Save the moment somehow.
Yeah,
right?
But then you miss the moment. Like a, almost kind like of. A type of brain. I don't want to say it's a disease, but it's like
it's
something.
It's addiction.
Yeah,
it's an addiction.
It's an addiction. Yeah.
I love the idea of social media because it connected me with family members who I probably wouldn't know that much about or be in contact with.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, the pay, you know, you pay in a way because it kind of turns you into narcissistic people because every time, and we all have these friends,
yeah.
We turn around, they're either doing the live stream or
Instagram.
You just see 100 pictures of them.
Yeah, exactly, right? So much. So, yeah, what would you say, just like the mindset we're in decides how healthy our food choices are? We kind of talked about before, but like what do you think about that? Like if we're not in a good mindset, will we have more like poor health choices in life?
I teach a workshop called Eat for Health in Cravings. In Cravings, Eat for Health. I'm sorry, I said that backwards. and what I teach is how your brain is affected because people think it's about willpower, it's about deprivation, it's about depriving yourself, it's about withholding, but it's not about that. It's understanding what exactly is happening to your brain.
Right.
For example, when you want sweets all the time, and then you're saying, oh man, I can't help myself. No, you can't stop. You can't stop because the sweets are not designed for you to stop.
Right.
They are not designed for you to stop. The food industry designs this food to be irresistible and addictive. So
they make more money, right?
They make more money.
Yeah, the drug dealers of food.
Yeah, so you're addicted to the sugar, fat, salt, and the chemicals, and you can't stop. And I tell my clients, I tell people that come to my workshops, you cannot get heal your addiction or release your addiction. And I say that word purposely because your body wants that sugar, the processed food. And unless you understand that, your brain is hardwired for that sugar.
That
it's
glucose.
No different than being on cocaine, drinking. It's no different than being on drugs or smoking cigarettes. It's
totally.
The same.
I agree.
Dopamine, the dopamine in your brain needs that. And once I dig deep, and educate like that to help people understand why you are addicted, they kind of get it. They get it because they know, how can I eat all this stuff and I have high blood pressure? How can I eat all this stuff and I have heart disease? I can't stop. It's not designed for you to stop. And I teach that because I get so passionate about people knowing the truth about what's going on.
Exactly.
And they try to make you seem confused so you don't know what the truth is. And you think you're doing something right because there might be a study that says it's healthy for you. And then it's paid by, an industry that wants you to eat their food,
Exactly.
So,
but
that's right.
Some people are so overwhelmed, right? They have so many problems, then it's like, oh, and now I have to take care of my health? That's too stressful.
Well, you know what I say to that? And even when people say, when they tell me now, and keep in mind I've evolved in them. I kind of say things a little differently now.
Yeah.
They say, well, it's hard. It's hard. Okay, is it easy to be a diabetic? Is it easy to have heart disease?
No.
Is it?
Exactly.
Is it easy? Is it easy to spend all your hard-earned money on medication and insurance premiums?
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Like, do you have any easy and quick tips for the listeners in order to stick to a healthy whole food, like plant-based lifestyle?
Well, you have to ease into it.
Right.
You have to definitely ease into it. And I've, you can look at, let's say you can take your favorite dish, for example.
Mm-hmm.
You take your favorite dish and you tweak it to something healthier. For example, if you use whole milk in this dish, for example, you could use an alternative like an almond or an oat milk or something non-dairy
or soy.
Yeah. If you use eggs, you can use an egg replacer. Sometimes you can use flax seeds, nutritional yeast. There are ways to change that dish to be more healthier. And not only that, I just told some students a couple of weeks ago, they said, well, where can I find? I said, if you want to make macaroni and cheese, I told them to Google vegan macaroni and cheeses. That's simple.
Or right. Go to our website. We have a good recipe.
Go to the website.
Yeah.
What's your recipe? What's your website?
Thinkplantbased.com.
Okay. Okay, I will use that because always trying
to
find.
It to you.
You know what? People want to change. They really want to change.
They do. But they need the motivation too, though, right? Like,
they
you know
need
what I
the
mean?
Motivation. Yes. My book is Jumpstart Your Life, Find Your Motivation, and Change Your Life One Step at a Time.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Because nowadays, depressions are on the rise, right? It's so hard sometimes for people even to get out of bed and stuff. It's horrible.
Well, let me tell you what I've learned. My journey has taken me through all this. I learned that you have to deal with the mental self-talk that you say to yourself. I'm ugly. I'm fat. I'm not worth it. You have to deal with those underlying emotional issues.
Right.
Because a lot of us eat because we're emotionally, we're upset.
Totally. Yeah. It's definitely mine.
You have to deal with those issues in order to release the addiction for food. And another, I tell people that, and only if you're eating whole foods, and I can say this because I'm a former sugar addict. When I say former,
me too.
Who wasn't?
Not eat sugar. I mean, I was a hardcore addict. So people are shocked. But what I say is because I started eating whole foods, whole plant-based foods, my cravings for sugar just went away. I just noticed one day that it had been 3 months since I had it. I just noticed it for some reason that it had been 3 months, and it totally blew my mind that I didn't even think about it. So what I tell people and advocate to people is until you clear your palate, your body, your mind of that sugar, you will always be addicted because there's no, your brain needs to release that. It really, really does. And people can't imagine having a life where they're not addicted to sugar. It's just interesting.
It's crazy. When you start giving your body, I think, the nutrients it wants, and you start taking, like you said, that addictive properties of, we stopped cooking with a lot of oil lately, and we just stopped craving oily foods. We can't even eat oily foods anymore.
Like, we get full when we go out and eat, very quickly.
And the same with the sugar thing. You stop having it, your body stops using it like a drug, and it's like, oh, well, we don't need it anymore because we're getting, we're finding something else to fuel our brain with, other glucose, proper glucose.
We become more efficient. Right?
Yeah, more efficient in our way that we process foods, right? So
Exactly. And, I was at a conference a couple of years ago, and they had all these cakes and, how conferences are. They have all these sweets.
The donuts and
donuts
the croissants. And you're like, whoa, this is like a little heavy. But
I was talking to someone, and I'm walking by it, and they're salivating, and they just couldn't believe that I didn't want anything.
Really? You're missing out, Diane. What are you doing?
Yeah, that's extreme.
No,
I'm not.
Are you sick?
No, I tell you what. I feel I'm a lot better off today than when I was younger, healthy wise. When you eat plant based, and you guys have experienced that, your skin, your inside, everything changes.
You feel superhuman. I felt superhuman. Like, what do I do with all this energy now? I don't even know I had this energy before.
Diane, what's funny?
You want to tell everyone.
When you hear people say, this person, was over 100 years old and always ate meat and wasn't sick. Well, you only see the outer shell. You don't know how the inside looks, even if the person didn't have cancer their whole life, you still don't know their health issues, right?
Well, and what's so sad today is, that people die of heart attacks,
Yeah, something that can be, proven to sort of be reversed. I don't want to say it always can be because, there's genetic component
But I feel that if you can change at any point in your disease, you have no idea of what the impact will be. I'm with you. I'm not saying it's a cure.
But
you have no idea what eating a plant-based, having a plant-based lifestyle, especially when you're in a crisis situation health-wise, what that can do to support you. And I'm no doctor. I have no clinician But when my friends and families, you know, they say, I have this, I have heart disease. And I always say, if you could go on a radical plant-based diet, just to see.
Just to try
if
it.
That yeah. helps, just to try it. You know, along with whatever your doctor is recommending for you.
Right. Yeah, I find it's usually when it's too late, that's when they want to change. Like when they have a heart attack or when
hopefully,
they have high
sometimes
blood pressure,
people even don't.
Then they want to change, but they don't want to start way before and try to prevent those things that can be done.
Exactly. Well, and I used to say that too, but what I want to advocate to you, that conditioning is deep. That
right.
mental
totally.
Conditioning and programming runs deep. And when I see people resisting, I know it's either their past or it is the habits that they have. And a lot of it is the deep mental conditioning and the messages that we get from our environment.
Yes.
That are driving us to eat. Look
right.
at all the cooking shows.
Those ads. You know,
right. Exactly. Oh, the ads, the cooking show. And then you, let's say you get invited to parties or like you in your situation, right? You had all the people that eat the cakes and stuff. And then you're like, what? I'm missing out. I better just like eat on that day. I mean, I can be plant-based privately, whatever, right? But some people just make the exception when they go out, right? But
I
think it's important to be strong and really like say,
and
you know
what?
I don't care. And people that appreciate me, that these are the real friends that actually like don't like judge me according to my eating habits and not say, okay, I don't hang out with that person anymore because this person's plant-based. We can't do much with that person. And that person maybe doesn't even drink. Like, why do we have that society where, okay, if you drink and eat like steak and stuff, yeah, then you're cool enough to hang out and we do all these stuff. It shouldn't be like that, right? Like,
people are so much
more than just like what we eat.
Well, we're conditioned to eat. Food is our happy time. Food brings us together. Food connects us. And if you take that away, you have to find a reason, a real, true reason to show up and be where you are. Now, I know I have to exist in a world where meat eaters are, right?
Right.
I have friends, colleagues, you know, I go out to dinner, but I have no problem eating something light, or if I look up the restaurant, you know, depending on what it is, I'll eat before I go.
Yeah.
Because food is just a function for me now. It's not,
right.
it's not where I gotta have something because I went to the restaurant. And even when I go to someone's home, one of my students asked me recently, they said, well, when you go to someone's house and they've taken the time to prepare this food, do you eat anyway? I said, no, because they didn't ask me what I wanted to eat. I have no problems not eating food that I don't feel is good for me.
Exactly.
Right. I'm not judging anybody, but
no.
I'm going to do what supports me.
Right. Totally. Because we have certain cultures where they actually get offended if you don't eat
yes.
what they
yes.
make, right? But you can't
yes.
like think like that and then say like, okay, I'm just going to eat lamb tonight because they made it. Because
they made a lamb's head for me
yeah.
in their culture.
I don't want to offend them,
we're
right?
We're going to go to jail. Like, it's crazy
yeah.
in some parts of the world.
That's
but.
Why I find it very valuable now, too. Like, do you have any, like, advice for people that even say, oh, it's so hard to be plant-based? Like, what would you suggest?
What I suggest, and I give people 7 tips, okay? I have this 3-hour workshop, but I'll just give you the gist of it.
Sure.
Sounds good.
but what I tell them is if you can, after we talk about the mind shifts, I tell them what they should practice in order to release their cravings for sugar, because that's the real problem right there. I tell them, don't look at the commercials on TV.
Right.
Don't look at the commercials. Don't have the food in the house, the bad food in the
yes,
house.
Because that's a good
not
one.
The house. Yeah. And the next thing is to get some rest, because you are 25% more likely to eat if you're tired.
Yes,
so
I
true.
Agree on that one as well.
Yeah. And the biggest one out of the 7 is to read the labels. I don't
yeah.
care what people say. I don't care if it's healthy on the box, if it's organic, turn it over and read the label to
totally.
See what the truth is about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I also talk to them about a concept of crowded out. And what that means is if you're eating, don't be hard on yourself. Don't tell yourself what you can't eat. If you're eating chicken and macaroni, I say flood your plate as much as possible with vegetables and start with the vegetables first.
Right.
And then eat your macaroni and chicken. And the idea there is that you've crowded out. You've eaten so much of the vegetables that you eat less of the chicken and the traditional macaroni, for example.
Totally.
Exactly.
Yeah, those are great.
And I also talk to them about primary foods. And primary foods are, what are you doing with your life? Are you doing something meaningful? Do you love life? Do you have joy in your life? Because when we're not satisfied on the inside, that causes us to eat. And food cannot fill a void like that. It cannot fill a void where you're not connected, you're not happy. It cannot fill that void at all.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about doing things that bring you joy, doing things that you love, being connected to people, just being happy in your life. Because when you're happy in your life and you're doing things that you love, you eat less. You eat less. Have you been lost into something and 2 or 3 hours have passed and you're like, goodness, I didn't even eat lunch.
Yeah,
or
all
dinner.
Day and I'm busy working and I'm like, oh, I got to go eat. Well, it's like 5 o'clock at night and I haven't eaten anything all day.
Exactly. Yeah. You're in the flow of your passion.
Keep busy.
Yep.
Totally.
And the last thing is support. Get support. And I don't, you know, our families love us. They want the best for us, but they may not be the right ones to give us the real help that we need. So I always suggest, especially when it comes to wanting to eat plant-based, because everybody's not on the same page with this. I don't care if you're married, single, or what. You know,
well,
it's like you can be a model for the people in your family. But I say find like-minded people. There's meetups. There's Facebook groups. There's all kinds of ways now to connect with people who are wanting to eat less sugar, you know, in their cravings or eat plant-based.
Right. You know what I find funny when you have more like a healthier lifestyle? Like you always have to justify it to others. But people that have like the standard.
Yeah, like they always think
lifestyle.
That they're like, oh, I went plant-based. They're like, oh my God, where do you get your protein? Like they're all into nutrition all of a sudden, like
so
you're going to die.
You eat chocolate. Yes.
And you're like, where are you eating getting your fiber from, son? You just didn't even eat anything.
And then they get all of a sudden worried about you, you know,
about
like.
Your health, yeah.
And when people go to McDonald's,
Yes, and they want to fight. And they want to fight about it.
Yeah, and you're like, hello. I'm like, your parents tell you to eat your vegetables, and I'm finally eating more vegetables, and now you're reprimanding me for eating these vegetables. So I don't get it.
I don't do that anymore. I mean, initially, yes, I felt I had to defend myself all over the place.
Yeah, right.
but I don't do that. I, you know, because even if you're plant-based, they say, well, so-and-so ate plant-based and they died or, you know, well, you have on leather shoes, you know, and you know what I say when people, this is where I am in my journey.
Right. It's a journey. It's not a black and white thing.
It's
not about comparing. And I don't get pulled into those conversations anymore. I just don't. Because you know what? It's too stressful. Yeah. I interviewed Dr. Joel Kahn on my show. And it's so funny because, you know, he's a doctor.
Right.
And the first thing I told him was, this is going to be a good conversation because we don't have to fight. I'm plant-based.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Why is it always like that? We're going to fight.
I don't know why.
It's so strange, you know?
I mean, it's a peaceful lifestyle. Scientifically proven that, like, you know, meat and dairy is not good for you. I mean, when you go plant-based, you want to tell the world about this fantastic thing that you didn't know about. But everyone
should.
Yeah, and then they're like, no, you shouldn't even talk about it. And they want to, like, push you away. And it's just, you know, they don't want to give you that time of day. I don't know if it's just because
I think it's irritated.
I think maybe because most people eat meat and eat dairy for so long.
They don't know any different, right?
They don't know any different in that deep messaging and conditioning that we get from our environment. Keep that in mind.
Totally.
As well as all the addictive properties in the food that keep us hooked. Keep in mind, it's like life or death for many of us.
Sure.
And you're talking about changing? I mean, even the course that Even the course that I took, I had to learn how to teach that in a way where people didn't want to fight about it all the time. You know? I bet.
Yeah, yeah. That's a hard thing to do, right? I'm sure you get tons of pushback.
Well, that's why I said not anymore. It's just information.
Right.
Hey, you show up if you want to show up.
Yeah.
And it takes courage to change because, like you said, you upset the apple cart of your life.
Totally.
You really do. In every aspect, even if you're working, you're in a professional environment. I'm in and out of corporations all the time.
Yeah.
And someone will say, let's have a working lunch. I ordered pizza. And to this day, I'll go, I don't eat pizza. I'm going to run out and get something and then I'll come back because,
right. You
know, you it's not a one size, let's eat all this stuff. You know, you have to be conscious about what you put in your mouth, especially today.
I agree.
Do you find corporations are becoming more in tune with the health aspect and they get more healthier foods? Because I know I work for a corporation and I started to see a lot more fruits and vegetables, at least at all my meetings. Like they do have the donuts and stuff, but at least they have the fruit for, you know, the health.
I do see the fruit. I will say there's still a long way to go because I've been consulting for 25 years. I'm not saying that there isn't a shift, but there's still a long way to go because.
Right.
It's a deeper thing too, because people don't want to, you know, they're,
it's cheaper,
like I said,
to
it's
eat
about
unhealthy,
right?
So to feed corporations, they want cheaper, but for
cheaper.
Me, you want to keep your employees healthy. So don't feed them that stuff if you don't want to pay more benefits and stuff to them. So, I mean, that's something we should be teaching corporations. You know, give your employees gym passes, you know, get them active. Don't let them sit on a couch.
Some of them do. And that's gotten better too, because now they have programs.
They're starting to get smart.
They're starting to get smart because that's how I'm starting to get invited more and more to companies under their health and productivity programs.
Totally.
Okay, nice.
That's great.
So that is awesome, but at the same time, people feel because somebody spent all that money buying all this pizza and all this stuff that I should eat it. But it's really about having the courage to stand up for what you need for yourself and not feel bad about making choices that support you in a healthy way.
And the more we make them conscious that, you know, people want to eat this way, I think the more likely they're going to want to, you know, include vegan things into their
to go to non-vegan places and ask, oh, do you have any vegan desserts or something, you know, and then
It makes them think about it.
Yeah, know?
And
oh,
the more people
actually
that
see that. Another guy asked like 3 days ago, seems like to be a trend now. And because people like, let's say, businesses such as cafes, right, like to look for what the customers want, right? And if they hear all the time, oh, plant-based foods, this and that, then they work on it so they can make more money, right? In the end, it's about making more money too for businesses.
It's about making more money. And I think A lot of restaurants have shifted, and it depends on where you are geographically too. I know.
Totally. I agree.
Yes,
because if the mainstream still wants the traditional standard American diet, then they're not going to have any vegan food. Which that reminds me, back in September, I went to Napa Valley. Okay.
Yeah.
And I told the lady, we were going on a wine tour. I told the lady I was plant-based. So she says, okay, no problem. Fast forward the next day, they're handing out lunches. And the guy hands me a plate with lettuce, pickle, and tomato. And I thought he was giving me a veggie burger. So I'm standing there, you know, waiting on my veggie burger or something. He says, that's it. I said, that's
no dressing?
Whoa. Are you kidding me?
No dressing?
Nothing. He said he didn't know what to do. And this was Napa Valley. And,
really?
And this is what I'm saying.
In California?
Is,
Napa Valley,
California.
No.
Not Texas. California.
Hey, Texas is really good.
Yeah.
Wow. Austin's really plant-based friendly. I don't know if you've ever been to Austin. Probably.
That's why I said it's geographical.
Yeah.
You know, it's geographics because I was shocked.
Wow.
even trying to find a plant-based vegan food, a healthy dose of it, the restaurants in the downtown area, yeah. And there's a lot of restaurants, they really didn't support what I needed, you know, to eat as best as possible. And I ended up eating at the hotel a lot because at least they had black bean burgers and a nice salad.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's crazy.
So my point is, sure, things are shifting, but it definitely depends on the geographics, the demographics of yeah. that community.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, that's what I had in my mind too. What, let's say a person in the countryside, right, wants to become plant-based, but doesn't have any friends that are plant-based. But yeah, that's a hard way, right?
Like, I started out like that.
Okay.
I started out like that. My family, even to this day, my immediate family are not plant-based. But what I love is I've modeled that behavior so long that when they come visit me, they are open to going to a vegan restaurant.
That's yeah, great.
That's awesome.
So I guess you just do your research, even if you're by yourself, right? And you, as you mentioned before, you go on social media and stuff. But the thing is, you know, I like that social touch too, you know, that you actually know people eye to eye and meet and can do things and maybe cook together if you really live in the boonies, right? And you just make food at home.
Well, the wonderful thing now is, and keep in mind, if you're busy like me, I order plant-based meal delivery now.
So if I'm
going to Timbuktu, I can take my plant-based meals with me. I mean, a whole food, plant-based. Some of them are what he called flash frozen. So yeah. I put them in my suitcase. I no longer stress about being in a small town and can't figure out what I'm going to eat. So I've solved that problem for myself.
Wow.
Right. That says it.
And,
good, yeah.
And also what I've done is a lot of my friends in Chicago have become plant-based. Okay. And not because I said a word, I've modeled that behavior just for myself when I ate and when I eat my food, you know, in what I do in my conversations. And it's like I've attracted more plant-based people into my life. Even my hairstylist became plant-based.
Wow.
Wow. And it's very just
inspiration. Yeah.
It's just modeling that behavior and having conversations. It's not putting pressure on people.
Right.
And even when I go into corporations, I'll have my plant-based meal and they'll go, well, what is that? And is this healthy? I mean, it really triggers a great conversation because I'm not going to judge anyone for where they are in their
right.
life.
And that's important, you know? Right? Because I feel sometimes you can, as like people that are plant-based, they have the experience that people around them feel judged. Although you're just like eating your food, you don't even like really care that much about that they have a beef burger.
And I think this is the downside of our community, plant-based, vegan, whatever you want to call it, is there's a lot of judgment sometimes.
The vegan police, as we call it.
The vegan police.
Yeah.
I call them the the vegan police, and you know, the animal rights. I mean, I always have to remind people, you weren't always this way. Everybody's where they are in their journey. It's just not fair to run up to someone and just dog them out because they just bought a hamburger and throw all that in their face. It's a journey.
Right.
It's a journey.
Yeah. Like I always like to say, I'll never go vegan, said every vegan. Right? I like that quote because it's like, yeah, really. Everyone said, I'll never do that. And then they start learning about it.
I never imagined it.
I never even crossed my mind until I got educated. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Until I... You know, I think today the documentaries, What the Health, Rotten, Food Inc., all those really helped me to wake up to what's going on. So there's a lot of good articles, good material, plant-based research that you can get today to really, really help you dig down deep and see why it's important that you change, you know, your diet to a more healthy one.
Exactly.
Why it's important is it's really important to living today.
It is. And I mean, I love what you're doing. You know, you're really out there and you make a difference, you know, for the people around you. You know, you're actually healing, you're inspiring. And I find that amazing.
You said it. I want to do it through inspiration and motivating people that want to be motivated, that they just don't know where to start. That's my audience right there. Because if it's not in your psyche to make changes, it makes no sense to have that conversation.
Exactly.
Right.
It's great. You like the living proof, you know, that it works, the plant-based lifestyle works, you know, and having a positive attitude. Because, yeah, it's not just about eating a whole food plant-based diet. It's also about a positive attitude. And if you put this together, these two, or even more, right, like you're really happy in life and you actually are much healthier than just like focusing, oh,
it's definitely
I gotta
journey.
Eat super healthy, but you're always stressed out about it. It's not healthy.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, unhealthy food, it definitely impacts your brain and impacts your mood and your attitude.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So.
Anyways, it's been great talking to you, Diane. We could probably have you back on another episode. Where can the listeners find you as we wrap things
they
up?
They can find me at www.dianerandallconsults.com and also
Perfect.
My book, Jumpstart Your Life, Find Your Motivation and Change Your Life. It teaches you how to reshape and transform your life in any way you want.
That's great.
Amazing.
Yeah, we'll include that in the show notes so people can find you and
thank you.
And get inspired more.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you.
Keep up your great work, and it was such a pleasure to have you on our show today.
Yeah.
And thank you, guys. It's been an awesome, awesome conversation.
Thank you so much. Take care.
Take care.
Thank you.